ECO Report is a weekly public affairs program
providing independent media coverage
of environmental and ecological studies
with a focus on local, state, and regional people, issues, and events
in order to foster open discussion
of human relationships with nature and the earth
and to encourage you to take personal responsibility for living sustainably in the world.
ECO Report is produced by an independent team of volunteers
working at the studios of Community Radio WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana.
And financially supported by listeners like you.
Good morning and welcome to ECO Report. For WFHB, I'm Glenn Leitner.
And I'm Linda Leitner. Over 200 scientists and academics presented a letter to Indiana Governor Eric Holcomb late last week objecting to the logging of the Yellowwood State Park's backcountry area. The letter was authored by Earlham College professor Dr. Leslie Bishop and was signed by 228 academics and scientists.
The letter states that in 2002, over 40% of Indiana's state forests were exempted from commercial logging. In 2017, the letter alleges less than 5% was exempt. The letter details wildlife that are dependent on old-growth forests in Indiana, including the endangered Indiana bat, which was recently confirmed to inhabit the Yellowwood backcountry area by a team of independent scientists and ecologists.
Logging is already taking place in Yellowwood with commercial contracts to be auctioned to bidders this morning. Officials from the Indiana Department of Natural Resources have allocated 299 acres of forest in the state park for individual tree harvesting. Timber from such sales is sorted according to quality. High-quality wood is processed as veneer, the outward-facing material used to finish furniture and other objects. Lower quality wood is milled into boards, and the lowest quality wood will be made into wooden shipping pallets. Opponents to the DNR's logging plans point out that even selective logging will involve the use of skid steers and heavy machinery, damaging undergrowth and wildlife habitats.
Local environmentalists and activists have established an encampment in the state forest in opposition to the logging. Members Mind the Gap, an organization opposed to the logging of Yellowwood's Low Gap area, stated on Facebook last week that campers will protect the trees and habitat of Yellowwood State Forest from logging. WFHB News Director Wes Martin will conduct a live interview with activists in the Yellowwood encampment later on in the show.
An unexpectedly high number of trash and recycling bin exchanges is prompting the City of Bloomington to temporarily change its bin fees. Data analyst for the Bloomington Public Works Department, Nate Nickel, says during the transition to the city's new automated sanitation system, some residents didn't receive the bin size they requested.
Over 1,500 households requested new cart sizes. And I checked this morning, and we're really close to about 1,700 now. So we've had quite a few. It's a lot more cart changes than we originally anticipated. And as you can imagine, you know, changing this many carts is difficult during the first billing cycle. And that's due to, you know, cart supply and just the time constraints involved in the process.
Nickel says other customers didn't get their trash or recycling picked up at all. Due to the mix-ups, he says Bloomington residents will be charged a flat rate of $6.22 on their November bill. The flat rate is equal to the charge for the smallest size bin available. Nickel says he anticipates the exchanges will be completed by the December billing cycle. The department will then return to its original rates for three cart sizes. Public Works Director Adam Wason ask Bloomington residents to be patient with the department during the changeover.
This is literally the largest essential city service change we've made in decades here at the city. Overall, still fully believe that it's being done for the right reasons and that it's going to be a successful long-term program for the city.
The Board of Public Works approved the temporary rate change.
The City of Bloomington Sanitation Department began its residential leaf collection this week. Collections are expected to continue until December 22nd. Residents who wish to have their leaves collected should place their leaves in a designated leaf disposal bag, which can be acquired through local retailers such as hardware and grocery stores. Bags are picked up from the curb by 5 a.m. each day. Leaves will also be collected from curbs and sidewalks. The Bloomington Sanitation Department would like to remind residents that composting or mulching leaves is the most environmentally friendly way to dispose of leaves and encourages residents to look into those methods as alternative options of leaf disposal. More information can be found online at bloomington.in.gov/leaves.
And the City of Bloomington announced it's in the planning stages with Indiana University to develop a bike share project. The proposed bike share would see bicycle rental stations set up in the city with customers paying through a cell phone application to rent a bike. The city is proposing to begin with 150 bicycles involved in the program, with the goal of increasing the number of bikes to several thousand. The proposed plan is expected to begin being implemented next year.
In East Chicago, South Bend, and other Indiana cities, children on Medicaid suffering from lead poisoning will obtain some help from the state. State health officials have received approval to spend up to $15 million to test for lead and remove the contamination sources in the next 5 years. Children on Medicaid are at greater risk than others for exposure to lead. State data reveal that in 2012, about 96% of Indiana children with elevated blood lead levels were Medicaid recipients. Children with blood lead levels at or above Centers for Disease Control and Prevention's action level of 5 micrograms per deciliter would be eligible for the cleanup program.
A new study from the Midwest Economic Policy Institute examined how climate change will negatively affect the Midwest, specifically roads, bridges, and traffic patterns. The study warns that the threat of climate change extends much farther inland than the coasts and could wreak havoc on transportation and infrastructure across the Midwest. Study author Mary Craighead said policymakers need to understand the potential costs and consequences of climate change. They must be proactive to protect communities and the economy.
Craighead finds that average air temperature has increased by more than 4 degrees Fahrenheit since the 1980s, and there has been a 27% increase in the number of days of very heavy rain since the 1950s. Flooding is a key issue because there's been a steady reduction in ice coverage on the Great Lakes and more frequent freeze-thaw cycles. The study recommends limiting development in low-lying areas that have already experienced storm damage and updating heat and rainfall standards used in the process of project design.
The Senate Republicans' narrow passage of the 2018 budget plan opened the door for oil and gas drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Reserve. Past proposals to drill in the refuge have consistently failed. But this time, Republican legislators attached the measure to the budget bill. The budget was passed through a legislative tool known as reconciliation, which only requires a simple majority rather than 60 votes. The budget was approved 51-49, with Kentucky Republican Senator Ron Paul joining Democrats in opposition. Lawmakers claimed that drilling the ANWR would raise national revenues.
ANWR is the largest protected area in the U.S. It consists of more than 19 million acres of pristine landscapes and is home to 37 species of land mammals, 8 marine mammals, 42 fish species, and more than 200 species of migratory birds. Senate Democrats, led by Maria Cantwell of Washington, offered an amendment to the state's budget resolution that would block drilling in the Alaskan refuge. The measure failed 48-52, mostly along party lines. And in international news, Mexico is making a last-ditch effort to save the 30 remaining live vaquitas, tiny porpoises that live in Mexico's Gulf of California. Their numbers have fallen by 90% in the last 5 years. Illegal gillnet fishing has caused the animals' decline.
The operation to save the vaquitas began on October 12th and is using trained U.S. Navy dolphins to locate the porpoises. The captured vaquitas will be placed in pens in the Gulf to protect them from illegal fishing activities, which have led to the species' near demise. The hope is that once protected, the porpoises will be able to breed and grow in numbers so that one day they might again survive in the wild. The plan is risky, since vaquitas have never before been captured alive. On November 7th, one capture effort resulted in the death of a female vaquita. Earlier this year, conservation groups petitioned the U.S. National Marine Fisheries Service to ban imports of seafood caught with gill nets in Mexico's upper Gulf of California to save the vaquitas. Mexico was unwilling to try the nets that might have prevented entanglement. For WFHB, I'm Linda Leitner.
And I'm Glenn Leitner. We love to hear from our listeners. Contact us about stories we've aired or if you have ideas for future stories. Please send emails to earth@wfhb.org.
And now for an update on this morning's public auction of backcountry timber in Yellowwood State Forest. We go to News Director Wes Martin, who has Dr. Ray Schnapp, Conservation Director for the Indiana Forest Alliance, on the phone from the Save Yellowwood Encampment.
This is Wes Martin. Dr. Schnapp, can you hear us?
Yes.
And Dr. Schnapp, thank you very much for joining us this morning. Dr. Schnapp, can you describe this morning's bidding process? It's our understanding that the Indiana Department of Natural Resources was looking for public bids and private bids to log Yellowwood. Were you there at the bidding this morning?
Yes, I was there.
And can you tell us a little bit about what that process looked like? Maybe who spoke?
We had, I'd say, around 200 people gathered outside of the sale, but they had a fence up that where the itself took place inside of a fenced area. It was outdoors, and the only licensed timber buyers were allowed to enter the fenced area and place bids. We had about 200 people outside the fence with signs and protesting the sale, trying to get them to stop the sale. The DNR estimated that the timber was valued around $150,000. But the highest bid they received was about $108,000, and except that we did hand a piece of paper that was offering $150,000 to leave the timber standing, but they did not consider that. They wouldn't accept it because we're not licensed timber buyers.
So just to be clear, there was a bidder this morning or a bid this morning that bid over the finally accepted bid of $108,000. There was a bid there for $150,000 that asked the DNR to grant that bidder permission to not log Yellowwood State Forest. Is that correct?
Yes.
And you are coming to us live from out in Yellowwood. Is that correct as well?
Yes, I'm at the entrance to the backcountry area that is at the top of Possum Trot Hill. It's very low, so I apologize if the reception is not too good.
Dr. Schnapp, you are the conservation director for the Indiana Forest Alliance. Can you tell me what exactly is the value of Yellowwood? Does $150,000 sound like a correct amount to sell the hardwoods of Yellowwood for?
No, we really think this area is priceless and it shouldn't be logged at all. It is really one of the most intensively studied parts of our state forest system. We at the Indiana Forest Alliance have hired a series of scientists who specialize in various taxonomic areas so that we've done a taxonomic inventory on the Yellowwood State Forest to study all the moths and inventory all the mammals and endangered bats and moths, bees, plants, of course, and then small mammals, lichen even. So this really is an area that is of great scientific importance. That's one reason why we were able to give the governor a letter that was signed by more than 200 scientists. And so we were hoping that this area would be set aside as a scientific reference area, but now they are planning to log it.
And Dr. Schnapp, thank you very much again for speaking with us. Coming as the director for conservation from the Indiana Forest Alliance, can you tell me a little bit about what comes next for the Save Yellowwood encampment, and what comes next for the Forest Alliance now that the hardwoods have been bitted out again, like you said, for $108,000.
Well, we haven't exactly figured out what's next. We're still asking the governor to call off the sale, cancel the bid, cancel the contract. That it maybe still is a possibility. We're just hoping that they don't move forward with the harvest, with the proposed harvest.
And Dr. Schnapp, if you could hand me over to, I believe you should be there with Mr. Dave Shoopman.
Our host, our fabulous host.
And like you said, Mr. Shoopman is the owner of the area that the Save Yellowwood encampment is currently situated upon. Mr. Shoopman, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Shoopman, it's my understanding that you and other property owners along Possum Trot Road in Yellowwood have signed a petition. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about what that petition says?
Well, what it indicates is that the last half mile of Possum Trot Road, which is north of North Shore Drive of Lake Lemon, we own that. And a few years back, we had allowed the forestry to put in a parking lot at the end of that so people could just simply access that part of the forestry. But this development, with respect to this logging, is, first of all, the logging is just, it's something that should not take place. This backcountry forest that we've got here doesn't need to be logged. Somebody should have taken a real long look at that before they even started this. But we are not allowing them to bring their logging trucks through here on our road and access that area where we're cutting these trees down. We've indicated that they could take them out the other side, which is the other side of Possum Trot Ridge, and that's what they're going to have to do. So the next battle is going to come in that regard, but we actually do own the road. We're going to stand fast, so except they're going to block the road, and they're not going to come through here.
So just to reiterate for some of our listeners, Mr. Shoopman, you're saying that Possum Trot Road out in Yellowwood is a privately owned road, and you and how many other property owners along that road have said that you will not allow logging trucks to access Yellowwood via Possum Trot Road?
Yes, it's the last half mile of at the top of Possum Trot Road. Possum Trot Road is 2.5 miles long. There's a homeowners association at the top of Possum Trot Road, and that's what I'm a member of, and that's the section of the road that we have the ability to block off. Needless to say, with that said, I mean, there's no way to go around and go into that area that they're logging other than Possum Trot Road, because there's no roads.
And Mr. Shoopman, have you seen this being done anywhere else before? What was the impetus for the homeowners association signing this petition and not allowing logging trucks to access that last half mile of Possum Trot Road?
Well, the first thing that they're going to do when they log this is that they've given us information on what it is that they're going to do when they thought they were going to come in here, but for 2.5 miles, with being a mile of just Brown County roads, but they're going to plow it up 30 feet wide to make a highway for logging trucks. Like I said, the first mile of Possum Trot Road that comes off the North Shore Drive, I mean, it's the residential area. Now, it's not like a common homeowner's, just a subdivision, in a around a big town or something like that. But there's people that live there. I mean, there's some families, and they got their homes here. It's just not fair to come in there and make that big of a mess, because if you go around any place in the state and look where they put these roads in, logging roads, when DNR goes in and logs someplace, they put these large logging roads in. They never get fixed up like they were. I mean, they look absolutely awful. I mean, it'd be totally unacceptable for you to have that outside your home or anybody else. But you get stuck with it.
And Mr. Shootman, just to reiterate, we're speaking with Dave Shootman, who is a property owner along Possum Trot Road in Yellowwood State Forest, or immediately surrounding Yellowwood State Forest. Mr. Shootman, does the logging concern you as a property owner that it may decrease the value of your property?
It could, in fact, destroy the value of my property, because I'm the last house on the end of Possum Trot Road. I'm right here, so I mean, outside our front door is actually ground zero for the logging. That's the section of backcountry that, first of all, they shouldn't even be logging. But I'm just right here. I'm right at the big X for the strike. So it seriously affects me. And it, to answer your question, if they do that, if they were to come in here and put this logging road in like they're talking about, I mean, it's just totally unfair. Because it would destroy the property value, as well as other people all along Possum Trot Road. Because what we actually have here, even the part of it that's owned by the county, I mean, it's just simply a one-lane old country road. If you meet somebody going or coming when you're on this road, somebody's got to stop and pull over and let the other car by. It's not a big deal, because there's not a large amount of people that live here, but to come in here and do that just doesn't make any sense. And to cap that off with what's actually available out here, and somebody should have thought of that in the beginning, is that just on the north side of where Possum Trot Road ends, there's a whole bunch of logging trails and hiking trails that go through Yellowwood Forest. And one of them in particular, the name of the road is Orcutt, and that's O-R-C-U-T-T. That's just an old logging trail that's been sitting there for decades. Everybody that we've talked to that's involved in timber work said a few loads of gravel and Orcutt could be turned into exactly what they want to have it be, so they can get their logs out of here. Why wouldn't you use that instead of coming in here in a residential area and plow through it, not to mention the expense? I mean, that's a tremendous amount of expense to go in and put a 2.5-mile-long logging road in, so you can get trees off of 299 acres.
We've been speaking with Dave Shootman, who is the owner of the area the Save Yellowwood Encampment is currently situated at. He's also a property owner along Possum Trot Road, which is being proposed as a logging trail into Yellowwood. Again, this morning, the Department of Natural Resources allocated a $108,000 bidding contract to private loggers. Mr. Shootman, thank you very much for joining us, and please thank Dr. Schnapp as well for joining us this morning on Eco Report.
And thank you for having us, would you?
Are you an environmental activist, an expert on a particular issue of environmental concern, a concerned citizen interested in learning more about local and national environmental issues? Eco Report is seeking volunteer reporters to contribute short headline news stories as well as feature interviews. We provide all the technical training you'll need. For more information, email us at earth@wfhb.org or call 812-323-1200.
And it's time now for Get Out and Hike, our newest segment showcasing the wonderful wild areas of southern Indiana and beyond.
It's This is Get Out and Hike, and I'm Jan Walker. This week I'm talking to Don Carlton about Browning Mountain. It's also known as Indiana's Stonehenge.
One of the finest hikes that I've been able to do in this area is to go up on Browning Mountain. The way up there is kind of steep going one way. Going another way, it's a little gentler, but it's still a good trek. And so you need to plan on a lot of time if you're planning on doing this. Certainly take water, and you might want to carry a staff. It's not real gentle, even either way you're going. It's not truly gentle, but it's just lovely. And there's old growth forest up there. There's a lot of controversy about what's actually going on up there. Some people think it's just natural formation of the rocks, or quarried by people up there. Problem is, that kind of limestone isn't around that area. The people who have looked at it say that it seems to come from a quarry south of Salem, Indiana, which is a long way. A lot of people think some ancient culture here put that up as a ceremonial site. And there's another kind of eeriness. Once you get to the top, all at once, the birds stop. You can hear birds off in the distance, but not right there, not right where the stones are. And you don't even hear insects buzzing. It's almost like everybody wants to have some kind of reverence for this spot. There are a lot of superstitious people who think there are spirits that guard the mountain. You can hear strange noises, and you can get some strange feelings, especially after dark up there. But they're not really scary. And I've never known anybody to get hurt up there.
Thank you, Don, for telling us about Browning Mountain. And I'd also like to add that both of the approaches, the drive out there, take your time, slow down. It's beautiful country.
And that wraps up our show for this week. EcoReport is brought to you in part by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
This week's news stories were written by Norm Holey, Linda Green, Sarah Vaughn, and Wes Martin. Wes Martin produced our feature. Andrew Brown edited the script. Juliana Daly compiled our events calendar. Our engineer is Kirsten Payton. Producer is Rebecca Mueller. Executive producer is Wes Martin. For WFHB, I'm Glenn Leitner.
And I'm Linda Leitner. Join us on Thursdays at 11:30 a.m. before Democracy Now! And on Fridays at 5 p.m. before KiteLine for our weekly radio rundown of ecological news. You can access headline news and feature audio from our show anytime on the WFHB website. Until next time, EcoReport encourages you to take direct action to defend the Earth.
You've been listening to the Eco Report,
a volunteer-powered production of Community Radio WFHB
in Bloomington, Indiana.
Available for download and podcast at news.wfhb.org.
Eco Report is your independent, ecologically inspired news source
for South Central Indiana,
bringing you news that the Earth wants you to hear.
Send your comments, suggestions, and story ideas
directly to the Eco Report staff.
The email address is
earth@wfhb.org.
That's earth@wfhb.org.